guys and girls, welcome back to the Booze Witches podcast. It's our hiatus. We are back, and it's like perfect timing because obviously it's a pandemic and just so much going on right now. So we just feel like we're needed more than ever, and we're happy to be back.
Yeah, we are going to discuss not only all the shakeups at Bravo, but definitely everything else that's going on in the world, the astrological connections to that, and just, I guess, kind of everything we've been up to.
Yeah, pretty much. And just to say, we actually, on Friday, recorded a two-hour, podcast.
Return episode,
and it got lost, so.
So we're blaming some bad spirits for that. I don't know who sounded
as enthusiastic when I first was like, hi, we're back. It's because, yes, we just did this, and I'm so bummed because it was such a great conversation, and it's, who knows, it's maybe in the cloud somewhere, but Zoom isn't helping anybody right now.
It's lost in an alternate plane somewhere. Thanks, Zoom.
Unfortunately.
Thanks so much.
So let's jump right in here. Let's start, we'll talk about again the Vanderpump firings.
Yes.
I know I've seen a lot of people that are like, you know what, good, hold them accountable. And then I see a lot of people online that, you know, are like, give them another chance, they're sorry. So, and how I feel about that is like, I'm actually on the side of, you know, hold them accountable. It's about time. Stuff like this has been happening on reality TV since it came around. I mean, you watch MTV, you watch The Challenge, you watch Real World, you see this type of stuff all the time, and there's never any consequences. People just, you know, apparently they think, you know, whatever, I can be racist and I can blame it on I was immature or I was young or, you know, I don't know what these excuses are. But honestly, there is no room for it. You need to start respecting other people. You're not better than anybody else. Nobody's beneath you. So we're all like human. We're all imperfect. I get that. But I think to start holding people accountable, I think people are going to think twice about the things that come out of their mouth.
Absolutely.
When it comes to racism. So.
Yes, definitely. And you guys, honestly, Jasmine called this in 2019. She said 2020 and the following decade is going to be the year of exposure. And as far as exposure, it means exposing the corrupt, exposing the fake people. And we're seeing that right now. And honestly, you said you only thought it was going to be on, you know, like the cultural, like pop culture level, but we're seeing it with everything, you know?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing it all across the board. And yeah. I had a discussion with a friend who was saying that, oh, I think some people are just like jumping on the bandwagon because they don't want to get called out. And I was like, you know what? Look at it this way. Them jumping on the bandwagon actually helps bring more, you know, awareness to what we're like protesting about. And if they're bullshitting and not sincere and they're not really, what they're saying, they're not really backing it up with action, they're going to be called out. And I honestly feel that way about MTV. I feel like their network is just like, they just have a lot of high up people, producers, executives that just don't give a fuck. And they treat a lot of the minority people like shit, and they have throughout the years. And I see them jumping up and trying to say shit right now. And they hacks like two people, but there are so many other people that are still part of the challenge and stuff that they haven't even called out or said anything to. So yeah. I think a storm is coming for them. Sometime this year, and I'm looking forward to it because they need to start hiring. They need more diversity when it comes to like producers and you know, executive producers and directors and all that stuff and casting. They need to have a little bit more diversity, because I've just read like just ridiculous things about too, even behind the scenes, when some of like this Black girl that was like, oh yeah, I was asked to be a part of X on the Beach, but then me and the other Black girl on there were told like every morning we have to make sure before filming our makeup and hair is done because we'll look too ghetto otherwise. So we were the only ones that were told that had to do this. Anybody else could go on camera. And, you know, it's stuff like that. It's such lack of diversity behind the scenes that that's why stupid shit like that is happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, people have been calling it for years on Vanderpump Rules. Like, it's too white. It's too straight. There's not enough representation. Vanderpump Rules is set in West Hollywood. I mean, the pinnacle of the LGBTQ plus community. Yeah. And yet we've had one trans person on there and one woman of color. And she was just barely a side character. She wasn't even a part of an actual narrative. So, you know, I hope that this means that even if they do go forward with Vanderpump Rules, we get a little more diversity. Maybe we get some drag queens in there. We get some more trans people in there, more people from the LGBTQ community. It's just enough already. It's enough is enough. We want to see more representation, and we want to see the fake, corrupt, racist people the fuck out of there.
Yeah, I'm sick of giving these people a platform, and I'm sick of everybody saying like, oh my God, well, she's sorry. She didn't mean it. It's like, you know, we're so selective on who we give our forgiveness to. There's a lot of other people that have said sorry a million times, and a lot of people don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? But I had to say this to a lady on Instagram. I'm just like, no, you're mad because this is somebody you like, but the same rules should apply to everybody.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people just are, you know, oh no, she made a mistake. She was young. She, you know, I'm like, young? This was like 2 years ago. She's, and regardless, it doesn't matter. I know sweet kids. I know young. I know 16-year-olds that would never talk like that. So yeah, exactly. Let's stop disrespecting our young people, okay?
Well, it's just inherently in, you know, in Stassi's blood at this point. I mean, she's had a lot of chances and she said a lot of things that have been extremely problematic, not only calling the cops on Faith, obviously, but also saying, you know, horrible things towards the trans community, I believe, when Billy was on, and you know, disparaging the Me Too movement, saying that African-American people complain about racism too much. I mean, we know the type of person she is. And honestly, we didn't talk about this on Friday, but we noticed her crisis management team is working pretty hard now that she's apparently pregnant.
Yeah.
Seriously?
When I was coming down for my hike, when I got to my car and somebody, my friend had tagged me in it before you did, Shara had tagged me in it. And I was just like, and then I read the day before that she had that crisis management team, they released like a statement. And I knew somebody that basically ran a PR company that was crisis management. And they are not, I know how that stuff works. They sit down and they come up with all type of ways to change the narrative. And they're like, they're like, hey, what about a baby? Can you start this week? And people are like, oh my God, this wasn't intentional. I'm like, people are so naive and they don't really understand how shit works. It definitely was intentional. There's no way Stassi was trying to get knocked up right before her big Italy wedding. And
yeah, she
definitely would to get the sympathy, because she'll do anything. She's like, get like Jack's mentality. She'll do anything to try to like stay where she's at, because Lord knows she doesn't want to have to get a regular job.
Yeah, exactly. The timing couldn't have been more obvious, honestly. And then there was photos coming out of her walking with an oversized cardigan. I mean, that looked so staged. I mean, seriously, people. Like, if you believe that this is not actually calculated, then you're fooling yourself.
You probably literally just had unprotected sex like this week, and they're like, okay, what's the statement? You know what I mean?
Pregnant.
Because I know how PR works, and I know how I know how that works. I work in marketing, and I'm not always so deep into that side, but I've worked with people on that side, and I know somebody that ran a company like that, and I know, and used to tell me all kinds of shit. So that's why I'm just like, I was like, wow, Stassi, this is like, because you see, didn't even anybody that's close to her repost this. They were even shocked when it came out. They're like, what the fuck? Not even
exactly.
That you didn't even get a congrats like on their story, because they're all probably like, damn, she is like doing the most right now.
So not even Katie said anything yet?
No, nobody said anything, but I'm just like, I also was saying to this, about like Sassy, everybody's like, oh my gosh, she doesn't deserve to lose everything. She said she's sorry. And I'm like, you know what? Honestly, in every other like job, especially if you're somebody of like Sassy, on like Sassy's status, if you become like almost a face of a company, an important person with like, you have an important role, there's like morality clauses. And like, if somebody like cheats on their, even this has nothing to do with your job or nothing to do with your ability to work, you can literally, your contract will be like, you know, they'll pull it. They're like, you're done. You're fired.
Yeah.
You broke the morality clause, because when you're the face of a brand, you're, you know, people expect more from you. And I think, you know, we're giving Sassy this huge platform, and I actually really like Sassy. She's a Cancer. I'm a Cancer. I love Cancers, but I mean, she doesn't ever take accountability, and her apologies are fake. Yep. And she's a Scorpio moon with a Cancer sun. She can bring tears on quicker than anybody. So those crocodile tears, to me, I know, you know, Cancers, we can be real manipulative. You see Jax do it all the time as well. Like, and Tom Sandoval, don't trust it. They're just trying to, they know people are uncomfortable with emotion, so they throw it out there real easy. Mm-hmm. We move on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead. She needs to be held accountable. Yeah. That's it. Plain
simple. Any other job would be. So yeah, I definitely.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought up the morality clause, because it's like, you know what, even if you, if you're a shitty person, you shouldn't be representing brands or companies. Or I love that. I think every company should have a morality clause.
Yeah, because why do we do that for corporate jobs and everything else, but it's never really done for reality TV? We give these people such a huge platform. Mm-hmm. They do not have to work the way we work. They get perks of all kinds. So I think if we're going to be spotlighting and doing that for and giving people that type of life, I think they should be a good person. That's why I was happy when Leanne's ass got tossed, because I was just like, I don't have any, I have no tolerance for that type of energy. As much as she tried, she's another one that's like, oh my God, I do stuff for the LGBT. You know what? You do charity for face value. Like, to me, it's not, there's not much depth to it. And especially how nasty her husband is. You are who you marry. So if he's walking around like that, talking shit about the movement and all this other stuff, there's no way you're some like, you know, LGBT supporter and all this, and he's like that nasty ass motherfucker and you're with him. Like, come on, that would make me vomit every day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, somebody needs to school her too and realize, well, you know, if you're so with the LGBTQ community, you also need to be part of the Black Lives Matter community, because, you know, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And that's 100%. It. So, who else did we want to talk about? We covered Vanderpump Rules. We've got Roni back. Should we dive into Roni a little bit?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I have to say, Leah, my Virgo queen, has become she's honestly shot to probably my number one all-time favorite housewife. And we have similar placements. She's got a Virgo sun like me. She's got a Sag moon. I have a Sag rising. But, I mean, I clocked her Virgo energy from the get-go.
She's
amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what I like about Leah also? She's an evolved Virgo. Yes. I think sometimes we get the Virgos like Lala's that are kind of
Tamara,
Jesus.
Ooh. Yeah. We had some unevolved Tamara. Virgos on Roni too. Aviva. Yeah. Aviva was one.
The unevolved Virgos, like that,
they're scary.
They turn out like Tamara. Tamara, I could not stand her. But Leah, mm-hmm. Yes, the way she just effortlessly owns who she is. Made me right away like her, because I feel like with that group, the hardest thing about the casting for New York is everybody's like so assertive and so aggressive, and they always try to throw in somebody a little bit different, but they get mm-hmm. eaten alive because they're just not strong like at all, they're not secure in saying like I'm different. Like as soon as somebody says they're different, they're like, oh my God, well, what's the problem with it? And I mean, I like your thing too. You know, they kind of like act all fucking, you know, just weak about it, and they try to convert a little bit. And I like,
just say you're talking about Tinsley.
Yeah, I was pretty much talking about Tinsley.
Yeah, if you guys can't get the hint.
That had one season. But yeah, Tinsley was, she just never belonged in the group. I keep seeing her everywhere online too, and everybody's like, oh my God, Tinsley got our fairy tale. And I'm going to miss Tinsley. And I'm like, first of all, you're not going to miss Tinsley. Tinsley did not add anything to the show. You would never want to watch a fucking Real House of Wives of New York with seven Tinsleys. It would be fucking boring and just lack of substance, no depth. You wouldn't know what was going on besides like, oh my God, I'm going to straighten my hair today and we're going to like go fake wedding dressing, shopping. And you know, you wouldn't know about anything else because she's too secretive. And I got what Dorinda was saying. I got why Dorinda was annoyed with her. It's basically because she does not add anything, and she's so secretive about stuff. Even when she was just announcing she was with Scott, Leah had to do it. Tinsley. I was like,
that's a great point.
What the fuck? Walk in here and say, bitch, I got my man. Like, you are, I see her waiting. She's looking at Leah. I'm like, I can't. Just get her off the show. She's like a child. I like I said, I'm excited for her to have a baby. Do I think this is a fairy tale like everybody's pushing? Absolutely
not.
Scott has dumped her so
it does not exist.
Yeah, he's an asshole. That's why she doesn't want him on camera. That is why he doesn't want to be on camera. They don't want him because he would be exposed. And I think he puts a lot of pressure on her to fit into a mold just like her mom. But I think when she has her baby, which I'm hopeful that hopefully she does soon, I think she's hopefully will step into her womanhood and maybe she'll come back to New York because I don't think the Scott thing's going to last. He's a fucking dick. I read it right away and he's always pulling her along. He's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And I think you made really great points. It's like I always thought Tinsley should be a friend of, you know, she wasn't really adding anything to the mix. She added, you know, I mentioned this the other day, but I felt like we saw flashes of confidence, like when she talked back to Luann during the epic, you know, Luann versus Bethany in Miami fight. She said, yeah, I'm drinking Luann. Loved it. Okay. Yeah. She had her moments, but I mean, to be a full on housewife, I don't think she was needed. Again, I would like to see her in the future. Maybe we check in with her and see how she's doing, but I agree with you. It's that passive kind of energy, this non-confident energy that doesn't really belong on this show. Maybe she was a foil for, you know, Dorinda, and you can kind of see the differences between them. But at the same time, I just don't think she brought that strong energy that was needed, because I think Leah does the same thing, but you're watching somebody who's, like you said, confident, owns who they are, and isn't so insecure in themselves. You know, I don't really want to see that type of person on Roni. I'm sorry. Like, I love Tinsley, and I wish the best for her, but I don't think she was needed on this show particularly.
No, she shows the type of women that we want, that we're trying to move away from. The idealisms that she pushes for females is what our society, hopefully in the future, we already are moving away from it in a lot of other states, but we're trying to move that away from women needing to be meek and just listen to what their mama says and just be their boyfriend or husband's, you know, lap dog and not have an opinion. Look, she had to give up everything for Scott. Like, you know, all for a fairy tale. You know, the Disneyland ideal, which is fake. To be honest.
Right. And I want to make it clear that, you know, it's okay to be like that, to be shyer, to be demure, but that's okay, because there are types of different women out there that are like that and maybe not so strong in themselves. You hope that, you know, that's not always the case, but sure, we're going to find women like that in society, period. But I don't want to see it on Roni.
No, I don't want to see it on Roni, because as crazy as New York is, I like that it's a bunch of bad bitches owning their shit. And Tinsley does not represent that. And I want to, we've been put in boxes for so long. I don't want that box on motherfucking TV where people are like, oh, look at that. That's how I'm supposed to be and give up my whole life again. I mean, how many times has Tinsley given up her life to move across the world for some man who she ended up in jail for, like, or something like that. Like, that's what I mean. There's a whole nother side to Tinsley we don't see because, you know, obviously there is some craziness there. She's arrested. You know what I mean? It's
kind of, absolutely.
She's like how Luann was. Luann was always pretending and acting like, you know, oh, I'm the Countess, and oh my God, you have sex with younger men? Oh my God. I
love the British accent.
Like, I don't know why I just gave her the British accent, but I'm just like, now Luann owns her shit. I mean, that's the best thing that came from, I think, her arrest and her, is her, like, kind of being a little bit more honest and owning.
Yeah.
Because there was one time where I was like, Luann, you do not belong on the show. And
right.
I get why they wanted Tinsley on the show too at the beginning, because they thought she was going to be like how Bethany was when Bethany was the only one on there, but she was that didn't have kids and was searching for a partner to have children with. But she was definitely no Bethany. You know what I mean? Like, the situation was
exactly. And it's been interesting to see Luann this season kind of own her honesty about her drinking and see it in comparison with Leah as well. And it's nice to see Luann just, like you said, just bring a whole new level of honesty. And her journey's been really interesting with her sobriety this year too. And I love the fact that she says, you know what? I can have a fucking vodka soda if I want. And if I don't want to have it, then I don't have to. And I love that she's not putting that pressure on herself anymore.
Exactly. I was like, wow, look at this Luann. Like she said, I remember it was like, I think it was the first or second episode. She was like, you know what? Last night was hard for me. I really wanted to drink, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, she would have never did that. Like, I don't even think even a season ago. I mean, well, a season ago, she couldn't have said that because she did.
Yeah.
She did.
She was still under.
So I will say that. But we'll say, like, two seasons ago, she definitely would not have been that, like, raw and honest. And I was like, wow, I really like this Luann. That's like, it's like one of those situations where she came out of a bad situation, like stronger, more self-assured, knowing who she is. Mm-hmm. So we want
character development on Roni.
Yes.
We love character development.
I know people are probably not going to be happy about the opinion about Tinsley, because I look online all the time and everybody's like, everybody has the same narrative. She's all for her fairy tale and, you know, we're going to miss her. And I'm just like, stop with the bullshit. You would not be watching, you know, and everybody's like, she can do Housewives in Chicago. Like, absolutely not.
No, thanks.
No way. Like, nobody wants it. I only want to see Tinsley when she comes back as a grown-ass woman. If that's not the case, then, like, you know, she can stay right at home.
Yeah, exactly. I want to switch gears a little bit, because actually talking about Tinsley this time kind of sparked something. I want to know your thoughts on the recent drama with Lana Del Rey. And her calling out, whether it was intentional or not, other women of color, and talking about how she feels she can't be demure in this industry anymore. I want to hear your thoughts on this, because I know you're a fan of hers, and I just want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, you know, I really do. I loved Lana for so long. She's like one of my, you know, favorite. She got me through a lot. She helped me kind of step into my Pumba Gira energy. So I've always loved her for that. But I think Lana, you know, she's a Cancer. She's kind of on the cusp. I think it's like June 24th or something like that. So some people are like, she's a Gemini, but she's got a lot of Cancer energy. That's where you see all that seductiveness. And I think with Lana, she is sometimes not in reality. And I think what she said, she didn't need to bring everybody else in it. Right. I didn't even understand what she was trying to communicate. I was like, Lana doesn't drink, but I know she takes pills because I've seen her perform and she's sometimes mm-hmm. like out of it. I was so confused by her approach, and then she tried to come back and say, that's not what I was saying. I'm trying to say everybody talks shit about me doing this. I'm like, okay, do you think that these women that you're naming don't get shit talked to them as well? Have you ever looked through their
exactly?
So I was like, wait a minute, you're talking. She named Beyonce. I'm like, do you know how much shit Beyonce gets? Do you know how many people do not like her? She has a lot of love, but people hate her, especially white supremacists. She gets a lot of shit. So I'm like, I didn't understand why she was like, well, these women are doing it, so is it okay for me to do this now? First of all, Lana, you're supposed to be a bad bitch. When have you ever cared about what anybody else thought about you?
Yeah.
And you used to tune everything out. You came out. That's why you would go on stage high on Xanax, sing your song, moving all slow. And I'd be like, she did not come to fucking LA to perform like this. But she does because she don't give a fuck. And now, exactly, I don't know what's going on with her right now, but she's giving a fuck about the wrong thing.
Yeah. Because
with her music, she's, oh, there's like her love songs, like, she talks about like a crazy relationship on one of her songs and people think she's talking about a person and she's talking about alcohol because she used to be an alcoholic. So, you know, there's always metaphors with her and she knows that she explains her music. So I don't know why she felt the need to come out. And it was just so confusing. I was just, what? Like, what am I reading here? Like, are you high? Are you lost?
She's been cooped up in the house too long.
Yeah, she's in, and cancers can do that. Like, as a cancer, we get in our shell and we cannot leave our houses for long periods of time because we're fucking weird. And I think she's in her own world, detached from reality. And then she's like, look at these people, loving these people. I'm like, Lana, go on their social media, look at what people say about them and the things they do, the things they talk about. They're getting just as much heat as you are. And I don't know. Is it a record label giving her shit saying, don't make this music? If that's the case, then I get you getting an attitude because you're stopped from maybe putting stuff out. But even then, bitch, you're big now. You're not some small time artist. Do something yourself and put it out. You're supposed to be a bad bitch. That's why I always liked you. You sound insecure and like you're waiting for somebody to be like, it's your time. It's okay. We're going to accept this now. So I was just like,
yeah. it didn't make any sense to me. And then when you go and call out mostly women of color, I'm not going to include Ariana Grande in this because people need to remember that she's white. Trust me, I love Ariana Grande, but she's white. Everybody,
why? But sometimes I forget. I'm like, look at that sexy. Sometimes I think she's Latina. I'm like confused.
Oh, she's Italian. That's it.
I'm like.
She just cans a lot. but I just thought the whole statement was just so, whether it was intentional or not, it was just strange. You're calling out women of color acting as if they've never had a struggle in the music industry. I mean, seriously, what do you think, that Cardi B has like had a great journey to success this entire time and that she's never been talked shit about for her power and her, you know, her boldness? I'm sorry. Well, you think that was just an easy journey for them? It was
exactly. In naming rappers, female rappers are encouraged to talk about certain things that they don't want Lana Del Rey, like producers and stuff, don't want her singing about. They want female rappers and female rappers of color to talk about certain shit. So abusive shit and that's what they look for. Just like they look for, that's what the head people want. So that those type of addressing stuff, she needs to talk to the board if they're giving her a hard time about the type of shit she puts out and they want her to put out something else. They want women of color to perpetuate that type of, put that out there. So, every time, like, as much as I even like Lana, I went to one concert of hers and I was just like, love you, bitch, but I will never buy a ticket to this shit again because you're a fucking, like she says, she's sober, but she's clearly on something a lot of the time. And I just think she's detached from reality and was like having a woo is me moment. Like maybe she saw somebody getting all the love or something. And she's like, why didn't I get this love for this? Like, who knows? Like, and she's probably just, she tried to come back from it and be like, it's not about that. Those are my favorite artists. I was naming them. And I'm just like, it's one of those moments where you're like, you should have had a conversation or you should have just waited a day and thought about it because you didn't make
it. It just seemed like she fired off these comments without thinking. And I thought it was really weird, but I just wanted your perspective on that because I thought, okay, this is an interesting talking point for her. Like, what the hell are you thinking?
I know. It's so
especially in the midst of everything going on right now. Like, regardless, she put out this statement before the movement really got going, but it was like, wow, you are really, I don't know. I don't know, Lana.
I think one of her main things was because I don't know if it was the last CD or the CD before that, but one of her songs was about physical abuse. And obviously you don't really normally hear people singing about stuff like that, singing, you know, maybe you've heard it rapped about, but she made it some, like, you know, enchanting song. And with Lana, everything is very, like, she uses metaphors all the time. So you don't really know what she's talking about unless she addresses it. Because she's always speaking in metaphors. So, but nobody's ever, she's never given a fuck. That's why she puts out music like that. And if somebody doesn't want her to perform that song because it is what it is, then who, like, Lana, at this age, in, you're famous. You've got a huge following on Instagram, on this and that. Like, release it. Put whatever you want. They don't want you to perform it there. Perform it on live. You know what I mean? Do what you want to explain what it's about. You know what I mean? Nobody's feeling bad for you right now. Like, least of all me. Like, I'm like, get the fuck, what is this, a victim moment over some bullshit? Like,
It totally is. That's how it came off.
Yeah. You know? She was just being a little cancer crybaby. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I don't know.
And Jasmine can say that because she's a Cancer, so she can talk shit about her own sign, everybody. So don't get offended. All you keyboard warriors, shut up. Okay, let's switch gears and maybe talk a little bit about Beverly Hills Housewives, since we did cover that on our previous episode that got lost in the alternate dimension or whatever it is. But let's definitely talk about the astrology episode that just happened and then just kind of the dynamics of the group. That episode was iconic, and I loved finding out that Sutton had my same placements of Sun and Rising, Virgo Sag, if you guys didn't remember, and that Lisa Rinna had Jasmine's same Sun and Rising, Cancer Gemini, and I just thought it was a really fun episode, and I could have watched 2 more hours of it.
Yeah, you know what, I really enjoyed them talking about... obviously astrology, it just made me want to do a dinner like that myself.
It was our worlds colliding.
Like, yeah, I was just like, oh my God, I love this. But then, I think we talked about this briefly before, Erica, like, there were so many Cancers, cause my mom ended up texting me. She was like, what the fuck? Why are there so many Cancers on Beverly Hills Housewives? And I was like, yeah, super funny. And I was like, all of them are so different. And I was like, well, you know, Erica has that Aquarius moon. Aquarius moons can be very cool acting and come off very detached. I mentioned to you before, Kat, like the guy that I was just dating, he had an Aquarius moon. He was the most eccentric, weird man that I've dated in a while. Like, all I wanted for him was for him to own his weirdness, because I thought he was, I was fascinated by him. I wanted to put him in a little bubble and just watch him move around. And so that's how I feel about Aquarius moon people. I really like, when you see them in person, they you don't really see much, because they act cool and detached. But if you're very close with them and you're in like private quarters, they are the most eccentric, weird, fun. They're down to do weird things and talk about weird things and aliens and all this stuff. They're just very cool to be around. I think they're just nervous of people accepting them. So they have this cool detached type of vibe. But they're honestly like, that was my first that I know of Aquarius moon that I've ever encountered in person. I was just like, I really... like these people. they're like little aliens.
Yeah, I feel like it's a rare placement too, because I feel like I've never met anyone with an Aquarius moon. And then learning that Erica had an Aquarius moon, I thought, well, that makes total sense, especially as you explain it, you know, they're detached from their emotions, which is really funny, because she has the Cancer sun, and I think it was Cancer rising, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe double Cancer.
So it's like she's hiding, you know, she's using that Aquarius moon energy, that detachment from the emotions, to kind of break away from the actual emotions that Cancers experience so much. So I thought it's a really interesting placement for her, and totally explains why she is the way that she is and why she's so guarded when it comes to that.
Funny thing about moons, right? Because
Cancer,
we obviously are, like, animal associated with us is the crab, and we go into our shell to really protect our feminine side and our emotions. And so her, since she's Aquarius moon, she comes off more cool and detached to protect that side. I'm an Aries. Yeah. I come off more assertive and aggressive to protect that side. And then you have somebody like Lisa Rinna and Dorit, their Pisces moon. So they're a little bit more, you know what I mean? They're a little bit in their emotions a little more, especially Lisa Rinna. With that Gemini rising, she's a little bit just in it. And it's still not, even when Lisa's mad, it's not scary. Like if they had me on that show with my moon, and even though me and Lisa are the same, I'm going to come off way more, scarier because.
Yeah. But her Gemini rising allows her to call things out, you know, like you do, like with your Gemini rising, it allows you guys, you know, on the outside, you come off as this really, I don't know what the word is, but you guys, you know, you're not afraid to call things out. You're unafraid of anyone, really. And I think that Gemini rising really says a lot because Lisa's not afraid to call Denise out. She's not afraid to call Vanderpump out. She's, you know, she uses that Gemini rising to her best ability, for sure. Yes. Whereas Dorit has that Libra rising, which comes off in her aesthetic. You know, it comes off in her, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Dorit will still call people out, but maybe she's not as outward about it as Rinna is.
Yeah, I feel like Dorit's a little bit like, she still a little bit plays the fence though.
She does.
Because even with Lisa last year, she's like, I want to be a friend. And Lisa's like, oh, but you don't trust me, but you want to be my friend. She's like, exactly. And Lisa's like, nah, motherfucker. It's not like that. You don't get to.
Yeah, she does do that. I mean, you can see the Libra placements in those women. And Kyle has that major Libra moon. So she definitely plays all sides as well.
You can see with Lisa Rinna, she's so like, even though she has that Gemini rising like me, since she has that Pisces moon, when she still says stuff, even when she was saying to Denise, like, so what about the hooker? She still says everything with such a watery stance behind it. And like, you know what I mean? You can tell she has that softer moon because she's still blurting stuff out, but it's in such like sometimes a delicate way. You're like,
yeah, she has that duality to her, I think. That makes her so interesting. It makes her so polarizing for reality TV. And I think that's why she's become such a fan favorite too, because she's not afraid to call people out.
People are a little mad at her this season, obviously, because of Denise, which once again, I'm going to be with the minority because I'm not on Denise's side. I think that Denise is delusional. I think that.
Oh, wait, let's talk about her placements first. I remember her being an Aquarius sun and a Scorpio moon. I don't remember her rising.
Scorpio
though.
Moon. Forget her rising as well. I don't remember her rising.
Yeah.
But I do know that I cannot deal with the holier than thou attitude, the delusion of like, oh my God, my kids heard this. You know, you don't live in the middle of nowhere on an island with no internet, no TV. You homeschool your kids. They only play with each other in the backyard. You're controlling everything. Your kids live, mm-hmm. You live in Malibu. They go to a school with a whole bunch of kids. Your husband has been in the press so many times. You sit on the show a bunch of times that Charlie shows up to your house with hookers and you have to, you know, then pull up an extra plate and chair for the new girls. And then he's in the press for, you know, cocaine, beating up somebody, domestic violence, prostitution, STD allegations. Like you're pretending that your kids don't know anything does not make it go away. They know about it and they're going to discuss it amongst each other. They've already heard about threesomes. You've had one of the most famous threesomes on Wild Things. She's like, I didn't want the kids' friends to hear this. If the parents are allowing the kids to go to your house, they all know who the fuck you are, Denise. We all know you from Wild Things, okay?
Yeah.
I don't think they're thinking you're gonna be like Mother Teresa at their house. And kids hear stuff all the time. Your kids are 15. Like, I mean, 15.
Well, yeah, exactly. They're teenagers. And then her daughter said, you know, she thought that it was really funny. She's in high school, for God's sake. I mean, I don't know. She was just blowing the whole thing out of proportion, I feel. And I think she's funny. And I think she's like, you know, got this like kind of attitude that I really like. But as far as this goes, it was just so dramatic and so blown out of proportion that I just think, I don't know, like why? first of all, why are we making this such a big storyline? And second of all, Denise just keeps going back and forth on her stance on it. So it's kind of frustrating to watch.
Yeah. And that's what I thought. I'm like, you brought it up to Denise. I mean, to Erica, which, okay, fine. That's your prerogative. If you want it, you're going to have whatever rules you want in your house. But Erica even apologized for it. But then Denise went and brought it to other people and then brought it up again. And then Erica brought it up again because she's like, why are you still talking about this to other people? I apologize. Yeah. Like, you're acting like I just like ruined your kid's life and set them back. And they're like, you know, on the ground shaking because they heard a word. Like, I'm sorry, with Charlie Sheen as a dad, and if you're worried about that phrase, but, and you're allowing hookers to come to your table, like to have, I don't, and let me tell you, for me, I have no problem with hookers. I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm saying the way she's acting like Mother Teresa and hearing that, but she allows somebody who's like a prostitute to come sit at the table. It's just, it doesn't make sense to me. And just her ideals on what her kids know and think, she's delusional. It doesn't make any sense. I'm like,
It's definitely that Aquarius, like detached from reality thing that you mentioned earlier, but it's in the forefront because it's her sun sign.
Yeah, so Aquarius comes into play like that. They can be a little detached from reality and just be like, definitely. I've known a couple to be like that, and that's hard. That would be hard for me as well to deal with, because I'm just like, if you're going to keep bringing this up, I'm going to call you out too. So I get why Erica and Lisa Renna said something, because at this point now it's just getting annoying. And they were like, we feel like you're trying to make us look bad.
Exactly. And then it's like, at the same time, you know, why are you even on a reality show if you don't want to put it all out there, you know, like we said about Tinsley, why are you here? What are you doing? Yeah. I mean, this is Housewives, you know, this is not.
It's Bravo. Do you think your kids are going to see you talking about Aaron's dick all the time? You're on social media. Like, your kids, are they on social media? Are they on the internet? Are they on the, like, come on. Are they at their friend's house on the internet, like, looking at stuff? Like, I'm sure they are. I think Renna's kids said the same thing. They were like, Mom, that book that you wrote, we got a hold of it when we were like 11 and 12 when we read it. And one of the things where you teaching a blowjob. I'm like, this is how kids are, though. They get into shit. And if they don't feel like they can come and talk to you about it because you're in La La Land, they're going to fucking discuss it amongst their friends and peers and whoever else. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think Renna has a healthy relationship with her daughters, and you can see that on the show. Yeah. And you can kind of see, I mean, I don't want to mom shame Denise, because I think she does have a healthy relationship. But
I do too.
Don't be denying this stuff to the group if you can't handle it. But I mean, that being said, at the same time, I feel like Kyle has been unnecessarily mean to Denise and just to everyone in general. Like when that's going on, I'm kind of team Denise, because I'm like, Kyle, you're being like extremely rude Kyle's to everybody. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Let's just say it. Like, her head is huge right now because she feels like she's the star of the show. And especially when she first started on Beverly Hills Housewives, of course she did well. Her husband did well, but obviously because they were on the show, all of a sudden his like real estate practice, it just blossomed. So he's making so much money. She's having all these opportunities. So she, you know, she's definitely feels herself a little bit too much, but she's annoying too, because she's another one that just can't like, and wait, she's a Libra rising, right? As well,
Libra moon.
She's another one that just can't, like, she's always playing the fence. Like, who cares if everybody's like hating because I did a therapy session with you? I'd be like, yes, bitch, we did therapy and we're probably gonna do it next week. You jealous? The end of story. What is the deal? I'd be like, yes, this is my bitch, we're cuddling tonight. Like, who cares? Like, she has to make it seem like she's fake best friends with everybody else. I love you just as much as her. I didn't, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's like, Kyle, you are closer to Teddy than you are anybody else on the show. You have an attachment to her. That's fine.
Who cares? Just own it. What, as Renna says, just own it.
It was so annoying to to like hear her, like, I mean, honestly, if I was like Teddy, I would actually be annoyed, but you know, Teddy's a wet blanket, so she's not going to say anything. But I'd be like, bitch, why are you not owning me? Like, why are you like acting like, you know, they're saying something bad to you by saying you're, she's like, I'm close with everybody in the group. I'm like, no, you are not. You are a package deal with Teddy. You guys come together. And you did do a therapy session together. And when it's two people, it's called a couple, period.
Yeah. I know. So it's like, stop denying it. And then, oh my God, Teddy, the double cancer over there. I just can't with her.
Oh my God. Her whole chart, I'm wondering what it is. If she did not become best friends with Kyle, she would not have made it this long on the show. She doesn't.
Watch Teddy have like a cancer stellium or something. Just have her be like six cancer placements. I would not be shocked.
You think so? Yeah, she could be. She's just so, I don't know. She just doesn't add anything. There's nothing about her. You don't see her and you're like, wow, like she's like amazing. Like she's cool. She's dope. Like, no, you're like, who was that in the background?
Oh, yeah.
Who was that?
Who's, yeah. I've never been a fan, but I do feel like the name of this episode should be called Talking Shit About Cancers.
Because, oh my God.
Like, that's all we've been doing.
I know. I mean, I could.
Oh my God.
I'm going to tell you right now, I did not like Sutton until I saw she was a Virgo. And I was like, well, I always like Virgos. I probably would have liked her in person. But I didn't like how she was coming off in the beginning. I was just like.
No, but she's growing on me now. And yeah, I think once I found out her placements too, I went, oh, she's got that similar. She's definitely blunt, like Sag rising is, like me. But she actually has a Libra moon, I believe, which is kind of interesting. But I don't think it. I think those more dominant placements of the Virgo and the Sag kind of cancel out that Libra moon energy a little bit.
Yeah, I think so too. But in the beginning, like, yeah, she couldn't get her footing correctly. But she's definitely growing on me. I like Garcelle a lot too, but it sucks that she's obviously got this Beverly Hills opportunity. It seems like at the same time, she got like five work opportunities. So
I know, I'd like to see her around more.
Yeah, that she missed out. But I mean, I knew I liked her as soon as she said, when she found out her husband was cheating, she sent out a mass email. And this is some Sagittarius shit.
Yes.
She's a Sag son.
She's a Sag icon.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I'm right there with you. Like, she just exposed his ass right away. So I was like, okay, you have my respect. I think she's going to be a good fit, especially if she can start filming more. But she needs to stop. I mean, she needs to stop asking Kyle, though. Like, Kyle, why are you dismissing me? Like, who gives a fuck? One thing with somebody like Kyle, especially a Capricorn, that is overly, like, whose ego is too big, you gotta ignore them and act like they're not in the room. That's how you get their attention. You come in, you actually are the bad bitch in the room, and you're barely talking to them. You're starting conversations like right over them. That's how you get that's how you gotta deal with them.
I kind of think she's just trying to challenge her and kind of almost not trying to pick a fight, but just kind of trying to challenge Kyle and hold her accountable a little bit. That's what it came off as to me. But can we talk about that Sag power move? That is an evolved Sag where you can just destroy your ex-husband for cheating on you and then just have a friendly relationship with him. So, like, I'm sorry, that is a Sag power move.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know how she's still, like, I mean, yeah, they seem really close and, like, they have quite the healthy relationship. So I mean, good for her. Cause you know, that's not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had some bad breakups myself and you know, I couldn't even imagine adding the layer of children to it.
I know.
Oh yeah. Let's parent. I mean, I guess you got to do it, but most people don't even do it. They're like, nah, fuck that. We're talking through the divorce app and that's it. You know, we're not having no joint birthdays over here. I definitely like her. She's a good addition. This season isn't as shitty as I thought it was gonna be. Because honestly,
better than last season.
I couldn't even watch last season. The whole gang up on Lisa Vanderpump was so uncomfortable to me, and it's just like
nobody, it was just a weird storyline. The whole thing was just
has
odd.
Any loyalty, like you know, and I just feel like Lisa had a lot of haters, you know. So I did Lisa have an ego on her? Absolutely. But, you know, I feel like with Kyle, since Kyle never is like, since she's always playing the fence, she's never really real with Lisa about what's bothering her. And then right. she does this type of shit and try to like to assassinate her. It's like all built up stuff. Like that's because she calls everybody else fake all the time, but she's fake. She's always playing the fence.
Yeah.
And it's just annoying.
No, you're absolutely right. Kyle's always been that way. She's been that way from the beginning. And if people try to disagree, it's like, just go back and watch season one. She's been like that with everything. She's acts like she's friends with Brandy, but then the first time she met her and Kim were attacking her and hiding her crutches. It's like, Kyle's always been that mean girl, and she always will be.
God, she is definitely the mean girl that has not, she's still in high school, and she's never walked past it.
I mean, we could probably do a whole episode on Kyle's childhood, because I find their whole family dynamic extremely interesting and pretty scary.
That's when I liked Kyle the most, though. Well, it's not that I liked her, but I loved her on the show, was when Kim, her sister, was on the show. Because it was just, it was such an authentic drama that she couldn't run away from.
It was wild. It was some of the best seasons, I think.
Yeah, it was fucking good. Kim was, bless her heart. She's like, you know, always struggling with stuff, but she would be fucking like so pissed at Kyle sometimes and just be like, fuck you. You know, I just loved it. It was such a good, the season was used to be so good when it was that cast with her, Taylor, it was amazing back then.
That season one was, I think I have to go back and rewatch season one, because that was an iconic, an iconic season. But I think we are getting a Kim, our annual Kim appearance each season. I think we're getting one this year. I think we're getting a Camille and obviously a Brandy too. So that's exciting.
I know. They don't like Camille. Camille's another Virgo. They don't really... they don't really like Camille that much.
I mean, Camille's a little odd. I mean, for sure.
Camille's an unevolved Virgo, for sure. I like Camille on the show. Do I like her as a person? Do I want to go out to eat with her? Absolutely not.
Yeah, exactly.
I would, and if I did, it would be because I'd want to have a few debates with her, because she says stupid shit. But I think it adds value to the show, especially.
Oh yeah, she's good for the show. She's good reality TV.
Yes. So I mean, you got to remember that season with the dinner. Camille says such stupid shit that she had so many people hating her that she wanted to leave the show. She was like, I'm out of here, motherfuckers. Like, so she does bring something, whether you like her or not. She definitely adds some shit. But I heard they didn't offer her a full time this season. I'm not sure why. So I don't know. I definitely wanted her to be on there, because I feel like this whole group, they all try to they all try to fake get along, and then they don't like one person. And that's the one good thing about Camille. She's just going to be doing whatever the fuck she wants to do. And I think you need that energy in this group specifically, because they're not like New York, where everybody's just like, no, fuck you. This is what I'm doing. You know, it's like everybody's like always in unison except one person. So you need that other person that can call out that group of five that is ganging up on everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more of that in like the later part of the season. We have these wild cards coming out and kind of stirring some more shit up right now. So I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I can't believe I'm watching Beverly Hills. I mean, it's even more shocking that I watch Vanderpump, but it's been, obviously we're quarantined. It's been shelters and places and all this stuff, and then curfews. I mean, we had nothing else to do, so I even started watching the shows that I gave up on a year ago.
I know. I thought, oh, Beverly Hills seems promising this year. Is it because I'm in lockdown?
pretty much. I mean, I'm glad I gave it another shot. And even with, just to bring it back to Vanderpump really quickly, I'm glad I gave that another shot, because even though I could not stand the Jackson Brittany fucking, you know, wedding bullshit and all that. Like, I couldn't, it was just, oh God. I was happy to have, to have like Dana, like those people, like to see all them. I was definitely like happy about the new people, Dana, Charlie. Even though Max just got fired, he obviously did bring some new, like a little bit of drama to the show, which made it a little interesting, because I'm so sick of seeing everybody's like, I'm so sick of like the Katie and Schwartz drama in their relationship. Like we've seen it so many times. Like, you know, we know you don't have sex. There's like no romance in that relationship. It's like very odd to me. It's something that actually would terrify me. Like it's like, it's everything I would not want a relationship to be. And don't get me wrong, because some people like romance-less relationships. Some people just don't like that. But just even watching them try to have a romantic dinner and they're like eating Taco Bell and stuffing gummy bears in their face and like talking about, oh, my ass is hot, I'm about to like take a shit. Like, and it was supposed to be, I was just like, oh my God. I'm like, oh God, this is like my nightmare. Like, you know, oh yeah. God, it's everything I don't want. It almost made, I was like, if that was my only option, I would be like, I will die alone. And that is okay. I would just, because I can't, I'm like, how do you even want to have sex with somebody like that? And then Katie said, she was like, his idea of romance is like, I think she said like competitive eating is his idea of romance, but I don't know. I'm just like, took like a year to have sex. So in that, once they moved into the house, which is even weirder.
Well, to each their own, because it's not my type of relationship either, but we have seen how their journey has come along until they got married. So it's not the most solid of foundations in a relationship, but hey, if they're still married to this day, I mean, good for them, I guess. You know? But
in my opinion, honestly, I'm still trying to figure out what Katie sees in him.
Katie is extremely boring.
I'm not saying that in that way. Like she's exciting, but at the end of the day, he does not want to fuck you. When they first met, he didn't even work. She was so broke paying the bill. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying Schwartz isn't attractive, right? Obviously he likes.
Oh, I mean, you've seen him in person, haven't you?
He's attractive. Obviously he likes to have sex with people because he's cheated. You know what I mean? He makes out with people, but he ain't doing it with you. You know what I mean? Like, and he just is nasty to you for some reason. Like he has it out for her. That's what I'm saying when I say I don't understand what she's so hooked on. I'm like, you're not getting an orgasm here. Is he really? Well, now he's probably helping with the bills more because of the TomTom. But she was carrying that relationship for a long time. I just, the whole situation was mind boggling to me. I was like, I don't get it. But to each their own.
I'll leave it at that because I have a lot of thoughts about that, a lot of questions about that relationship.
Go ahead.
That could be another episode.
Because you know what? I don't think Tom would be there. If Vanderpump, like Tom was still, in my opinion, Tom stayed with Katie because she was paying for everything. I'm taking care of him. And then he wanted to stay with her even more because of the show and all the perks of it. I don't know what, that's why I'm saying Katie, like, I don't understand sometimes what, like, she is like, I'm like, how is she not seeing this? I don't understand, like, what's happening.
Well, then he got himself a restaurant by doing absolutely nothing. Working in a restaurant a day in his life. He worked one day and had a panic attack and freaked out. And that's fine. Restaurant work is not for everybody, but it's like, how do you become the face of a restaurant and you've never worked at a restaurant?
I know. When he had that panic attack, I was just like,
think about how all servers feel and all restaurant wait staff feel. We feel like that at every period of time. Working at a restaurant. It was encapsulated in one shift that he couldn't even finish. It was kind of hilarious.
Well, I think poor guy. I don't know. I know he's a Libra too. I mean, I think it's so funny that he's so bitchy to Katie, because if I was the one taking care of everything, I'd be the one. I would be a bitch as well. That's why I couldn't be in a relationship like but to each their own, because I'd be like,
he has like five or six Libra placements, so it makes complete sense when it comes to his personality. He's just a complete when you have that many Libra placements and nothing else actually like canceling it out, you just become a complete doormat. I'm sorry, like, you could be an evolved Libra, but he's not an evolved person, so why would he be an evolved Libra? He's a complete doormat, plays every single side. When I saw his chart, I went, oh my God, it all makes sense.
You know what, he does that with everybody, and then with Katie, like he, like she says that's like a, like one of his issues, like with her specifically, he just like sometimes gets mad and gets nasty. And I was like, you know what, that's probably why she always has little attitudes with Tom, because you know, when nobody's looking and nobody's going on, he gets real low below the belt. It almost, his venom comes out of him, specifically with her. I mean, Jax has done him dirty, and he ain't said, he always talks to Jax with such care, and then the other Tom talks down to him, and he's just like, Tom. And I'm like, whoa, man. I'm like, that wouldn't slide with me. to each their own, but I know everybody's always like, Katie's not the best person, but I'm like, yeah, but you know, we're so forgiving of Tom because we think Tom's worse because we think he's attractive and he's charming. And we don't give, Katie doesn't have those same traits. So we're just like, oh, well, it's okay. He says it with a smile, so let's forgive him. I'm like, no.
Yeah, you're right. No, there's something to that there, because it's like, you know what? Tom has flown under the radar of being a shit human being to everybody, especially his wife. And people don't, it's like people don't give him the same shit that they give Katie, so.
They sure the fuck don't.
Yeah. Do we want to kind of talk about everything going on right now and the astrology of it all and just kind of connect the dots for people at the moment?
Yeah, flow into that.
Discuss that a little?
Yeah.
I mean, since we did already technically record an episode, I can't fully remember what we talked about, but I did want to close the episode talking about this a little bit. As we know, we have two pandemics raging on in this country, in the world, really. And we just kind of wanted to talk about the astrological connections with that. The fact that everybody thought 2020 was going to be kind of a shit year. And yeah, in many ways it is, but it's also the year of, like Jasmine said, the year of exposure, the year of exposing corrupt systems. If you look at astrology wise, you know, we love astrology. I'm not a professional astrologer by any means, but I do follow a lot of them on Instagram and I learn a lot. And I have a lot of books on it and everything, but you know, seeing certain connections here is really interesting. And again, if you're listening to this podcast just for Bravo related stuff, you have to realize that we love astrology. And if you haven't already heard, and that astrology influences history and world events. So one major example is that Saturn is in Aquarius right now. And the last time Saturn was in Aquarius was for the 92 Rodney King riots. So you can make a little connection there. And I don't know, I just think like your point about it exposing corrupt systems, we thought it was going to be purely on a reality TV level. We are now seeing it's not the case. It's worldwide.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the big, like Saturn isn't normally in this placement a lot. And I think the big difference about then and now is that now we have these social media platforms. So the newscast, CNN, Fox, whatever, they're not able to control the narrative as much. We're able to actually, the difference between the Rodney King and like the George Floyd situation is like, since everybody is so like, we're in the like year of technology, like everybody's able to record stuff. So you're seeing like this whole like cause just take wildfire, and all the people that, you know, act like they're allies but aren't, are getting, because of social media and people having phones and stuff, they're getting recorded, and that stuff is like being exposed too. Seen so many things online lately of just people acting really nasty. I think it was a woman and her daughter were in their neighborhood and they were protesting. Maybe her daughter was about 9. And a woman that came out of her house, they were just walking down the street protesting. And she just starts like attacking this mother and daughter because they were protesting for Black Lives Matter. And her husband came out trying to drag her. And she's screaming like, fuck you, I'll kill you. And they're like trying to like, her husband's trying to drag her away, and the little girl's like crying hysterically.
Oh my God.
And the lady, it went viral. And what happened? That lady is a teacher, and she was a substitute teacher. And the school made an announcement that they're no longer associating themselves with somebody like, like that. So like she'll no longer have employment there. So I was like, you know what? A lot of, you know, I think a lot of people get discouraged because there are so many hateful people out there. But if you really look around right now, especially because we have the internet now and social media, we're seeing how many good people are around. We had 50 states and 18 countries total protesting for Black Lives Matter, which is just huge. Because we know systematic racism is an issue and police brutality. And anybody trying to make it about anything else right now, or trying to say all lives matter and all this other stuff. I know we had touched on this before, but it's like, you know, a lot of the people that are saying that, they were the same ones protesting outside about them needing a haircut.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
You know what I mean? And then we talked about the cancer reference. I know somebody close to me that died of cancer. And if I'm saying breast cancer awareness, nobody's saying like, all cancer awareness. Holy cancer awareness. It's like you have such a problem with the word black that that is the real issue here, because you don't do that with anything else. And all lives didn't matter a second ago when it was COVID issue and it was only old people affected. You guys did not care about old people. You were ready to get back outside and risk their lives. You said they're going to die anyways. And I was like, that's a major issue we have, is that we don't care about human life. We don't respect other humans here. Like everything about the material and people would rather get their hair cut and risk, you know, their grandmother's lives, which is very telling about us needing to move away from the hyper-masculinity bullshit that we've been pushing down everybody's throats for centuries.
Well, absolutely. And that's the thing, is that, you know, Saturn being in Aquarius, we're going to be moving into the age of Aquarius. I believe it's in 2027 is official, but we're moving that way. And Aquarius is a sign of the humanitarian. So these systems are breaking down and these people are being exposed who are not truly for humanity. And they're going to be, you know, they're going to be dropped by the wayside because they're not going to be included in this. You know, they're not going to be moving forward with us. And if you're not going to be, you know, we're going to move forward with or without you.
Yeah.
But these systems of people being for materialism or for, you know, just complete and utter bullshit and racism, these are being broken down right now so we can move into this better period, this humanitarian period, the age of fucking Aquarius. Like, it's here, it's coming. And like you said the other day, like, it might get worse before it gets better. And I'm pretty sure it will. I think we're seeing it right now as well. Cause we're seeing these people become afraid and we're seeing what they do when they become afraid. But you know, you really hope that, like you said, that the power of positivity is much louder than everyone else.
Yeah, and they should be afraid. They're now the minority, and I think social media has showed them that they're the minority now. That there's more of us, and I think they even saw that when Trump was first elected, because, you know, yes, he did get in, but because of the electoral college, but more of the popular votes were elsewhere. You know, mm-hmm. So there were already people like, you know, we're done with having, you know, men in power that act like that. I just got into had a debate with a girl today about that, where she was just like, well, I get it. Like, I like a person with that's real and like they're blunt. And I was like, see, that's the problem. He has traits of hyper masculinity, like toxic masculinity traits. There's good sides to masculinity, and that is being understanding. That means forgiving. That means actually listening. That, you know, you're leading in a positive way without force. Those are positive traits of masculinity, but we don't encourage that in our society. We encourage the negative traits, which Donald Trump displayed. And that's what a man is. That's what's been drilled into us, and to push away from that femininity too. And we're going to be moving more into embracing humanitarianism is embracing compassion and empathy. So we're going to be moving more into femininity, and we're going to be killing some people with kindness. There's a lot of good stuff happening. So I think, you know, those people should be nervous. They're definitely the minority now, and they feel it, and they're getting angry, and they're going to try to do anything to protect their stance right now, but it's okay. We're going to love your kids and your kids are going to love us back. So, you know, a lot of them got little kids. We going to be nice to them. They're going to grow up in a, we're going to try to change the views. Cause you know how they always say it starts at home.
Yeah.
That's why we got to start being good to each other when we're out on the street, because maybe they are being, you do see some kids being taught stuff at home, but you know, when you're out and you see somebody, you talk and you're nice and you have good energy. That affects people. So we going to be hitting the people at your houses too. So stay in your shit. If you want to, you'll be there right alone in the dark.
Well, that's just it too. I feel that this generation, and of course you and I are part of the Pluto Scorpio generation, millennials, the Pluto and Sag generation is really about, they're also about exposing things, and they're also about philosophy and, you know, doing what's right, because ultimately Sages are, you know, as they may be controversial, they're our philosophers. And I'm really excited for this generation to step up, and they already are, you know, they're stepping up, they're standing up for what's right. And you know what? I think that our generation was the one to kind of expose the dark side and show people how dark and destructive this world can be. And then this next generation, the Pluto and Sag generation, is just, they're like, they've taken the torch with them and they're going on in this fight, and I love it. So it's interesting astrologically to see generationally what's going on as well, as we move into Aquarius. Yeah.
I think we're definitely, when I looked a little further back into other placements, I think I went back as far back as the 40s. I think the Pluto placements from the 40s up into ours, I think I saw Virgo and I know I saw Libra, which is just very telling. Like, and I don't know what else I saw, but I know I saw those two. And when I think of like the people with the Libra placement, I think of like those people that are always like, not taking a side, not trying, like, don't get involved in that. Stay out of that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that. And I think with the Virgo, I think they're a little detached from stuff. Everything's about order, you know? Everything's about rigid order. No.
Would that be the baby boomers, Pluto and Virgo, or is that Pluto and Leo?
I saw Pluto and Virgo for one of the generations, and I saw Pluto in Libra. This is for the older generation, so before the millennials and Generation Z. I have it somewhere in my notes, but when I think about those two placements, it's very telling of those generations and how they speak and how they act. And it's even telling when I think about the millennial generation just being in that, having that Scorpio placement. Why, you know, and that's such an underworld spot. Why, it's like we're kind of searching for something. We're going in the depths, but there's a lot of millennials that get too lost in the depths. That's why I think there's like a big, you know, drug issue with millennials and using and over, you know what I mean? They don't realize they're trying to like get to the underworld, and in the midst of it, they're getting like addicted to shit. They're trying to like get
that's interesting.
I see so many, Generation Z, when I saw that Sag placement, and they're the adventurers, and they're just, they're the explorers, and they're
pulling us forward.
Culturalism and like, you know, meeting different people and new experience. They like different. They need it. They need to see the world. They need to meet somebody different from them. They need to try new food. You know, that's Sag. New. Look at, oh, wow, that's different from me. I love it, you know? So they're all about that. So it's pretty it's pretty nice to see that generation coming up like that. Because I saw a couple of videos of, like, kids arguing with their parents who had completely different views, and that were, parents were very racist, to say the least, the stuff I heard in the videos. And I was just like, look at this generation. That's definitely that Sag energy. Like, they're just like, they're fighting for their philosophies, and, you know, I love it. It's definitely
absolutely.
I'm excited for the changes that will eventually come. I know obviously it's gonna be for a lot of people it's a little scary right now, but I see light coming this decade. And I told you this on the podcast that we lost. The government of New York I was like, I think he's said so many times that he is not going to do anything presidential, even if it's not necessarily that, and he is going to be a leader in some way. I think that even though he doesn't want it, like, he's going to be like, we're going to not only push him into that because he is like needed, especially having somebody of that older generation, but he's kind of open. Do you know what I mean? And he's a Sagittarius, obviously. So I feel like Generation Z is just almost kind of speaking to him. He doesn't even understand.
Yeah.
That we.
He's a Sag icon for sure. Yeah. I actually just looked up his chart right now because I was curious. He has the exact opposite sun moon as Donald Trump. So Cuomo is a Sag sun Gemini moon, whereas Trump is a Gemini sun Sag moon. How interesting is that? And they are completely opposite. I mean, couldn't be further.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Very opposite.
Interesting.
What's his Mercury and Mars?
Let me see. I got to pull it up again. Cuomo's Mercury is in Capricorn and his Mars is in Scorpio.
Okay. I definitely, that's funny that he is, because this, he is going to be just a major person though, this decade, especially after I think like 2025 and up. I think he's going to be like a major part of like the new world's like movement. Even if he's saying,
I sure hope so.
Not now, I'm 100% just feel that, like, without a doubt. Because I think he thought, like, I'm going to be a governor for a little while longer, retire. Like, no, you're needed. This is what Sagges are made for. An evolved Sag is meant to be a world leader, like, about forward movement and about transformation and about just, like, culturalism. This is what they're supposed to do. So this is going to be his moment. And even if he thinks he's not going to do it, he's going to step into it for sure.
I mean, he's kind of been this leader throughout, you know, especially the coronavirus pandemic. I feel like a lot of people were looking to him.
Yeah.
You know, I kept saying that he was like the East Coast president. And I feel like listening to him and listening to his advice and wisdom, he has this like otherworldly wisdom. I just feel like he was already kind of our pandemic leader. And then now, you know, he's hopefully stepping up when it comes to the movement at the moment. I hope he does.
He is. He did just sign a few things in New York. One of them was, I think, something to, like, if you choke somebody, it's considered
banning the chokeholds, right?
Yeah, banning the chokeholds. And then he also signed something where if, like, that guy, that black guy that was in the bird watching in the park, and he told the lady to put her.
Oh, yeah. The Amy
bill
or whatever.
He had a law passed about false accusations and like really holding people accountable for those.
Which is really impressive for him to just kind of sign it right away like that. He kind of just approached it like, put it on my desk, I'm going to sign it. Because I think he realizes he does kind of need to be that leader, that opposite of Trump astrologically and definitely physically as well.
He knows he's needed, but he still has this, I feel like he still has this energy a little bit where he's just like, he feels like, okay, I'm going to get them through this COVID thing. And then, I'm not going to have to be in the spotlight again. Nope, needed again. You're going to keep being called on. This is going to be a decade worse. So if he thought he was retiring this decade, no, it's not going to happen. We're going to keep calling on you. And he's going to feel the call, especially from Generation Z. He's going to feel it. And he's not going to be asleep. It's going to be knocking. He's going to be like, okay, you know what? This is time for me to really make a difference. This is what I joined. Because I feel like he really joined politics for that, even though he maybe in the past hasn't been able to do much or wasn't the right opportunity. I think this is why I became a part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the leader we need right now, for sure. And I feel like I had another point I wanted to make, but I can't think of it right now, as far as astrologically what we're moving into. But I do hope that, you know, we're going to be committed to podcasting, you know, every week now, talking about astrologically the events that are going on, discussing Bravo, discussing pop culture, politics, obviously. Now we're getting into Cuomo.
and I just want to say, do not at us or comment talking about, do not talk about politics. We do not try to put people in boxes. That's not who we are.
Yes.
Exactly. This is you know, a free land. We're all able to vote, so all of our opinions matter. You're not limited to one thing. It's not like you play basketball, you dribble, that's it. Because if that was the case, Trump wouldn't even be in the place he's in, because he was a reality star. He wasn't a politician. He shouldn't have been in the White House. That's mm-hmm. the point of how our world works. You can have an opinion because you vote, and you can do whatever the fuck you want. That's five things. You can do five things, whatever you want to do. 10, 20, whatever. So don't at us with the bullshit. We will talk about whatever we want to talk about. And we're open to discussion. If you have different,
if you have an open mind,
that's fine. If you have an open mind and open heart, we're down to discuss stuff. But yeah, don't want to hear any of the don't talk about politics, because we will be talking about it. It's current. It's happening in the world. We don't have a Pluto and Libra. This is a Pluto and Scorpio shit. Okay.
So yeah, exactly. One of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite actresses is, oh, I don't know if it was her quote, but she says, a bitch has multitudes, and that's who we are. And that's who we always will be. We're going to discuss everything under the sun, because that's what we do. And I have to say that if you listen to us for the astrological or spiritual side of things, you need to realize that spiritual work is anti-racism work. And I can't shout that loudly enough. If you are not talking about human rights in your spiritual work, you are not spiritual.
End of story.
So I'm tired of people glossing over everything with love, light, and positivity.
Yeah.
Staying silent in this fight right now. You're not with us, and that's it. That's all I got on
very
that.
Very true, because I can't tell you how many people on my Instagram who post all this positive spiritual stuff every day, and I haven't heard them say one thing about yes. what's going on right now, as if that's mm-hmm. not, the world is going through something. And you're not in tune with that. You're not a spiritual person. I'm yeah. sorry. You're not. Oh no, I don't know. You're acting like it's not there. Like once again.
Let's just make that clear.
Yeah. Like it's very, very, very odd behavior. But yeah, uh-huh. you're not spiritual if you're not talking about this. You're fake. Yeah. You're in some fake spiritual shit.
Yeah, exactly. I see so much of that on social media, and I'm just tired of it, and I want to call it out. And that's it. And that's why we're here. We're here to call shit out. We're here to talk about whatever the fuck we want. And I don't, if you have a problem with it, I really don't care.
I know. We're like,
but
I don't. I'm here to to deliver my message, because I know there's so many, I get into it with so many people on social media, or they don't like what I'm saying or whatever. I'm like, you don't have to listen then if you don't want to, hear about, if you need a podcast strictly about just, Bravo, there's plenty of those. We're well-rounded people, and mm-hmm. you want to attract those type of people as well that are well-rounded, because that's the kind of world we want to be in too, and that's what we're hoping the world is moving towards.
Yeah, exactly. And if it's your first time listening to us, you have to realize that this is kind of a reintroduction of sorts, but as friends, we've always been this way. Our friendship has always been that we've talked about everything under the sun and the moon, and that's just always been who we are, and it's who we always will be, and that's how we've connected. So that's why we turned this podcast into our friendship into a podcast as well, because this is who we are and this is who we've always have been. And I had another point I was going to make, but I just had it's just lockdown brain, I swear to you.
Oh my God. I've been doing that too. I'm just like, there's just so much going on. You're just like,
spiritually, mentally, physically, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like spiritual time is more important than ever at this point. Yeah. Now, we're happy to be back. We're going to be back weekly. We're excited to do this. It's not like we weren't excited before, but there was just, a lot of like self actualization and growth and everything that we were going through. It was a huge for a lot of light workers. The last few years of the last decade were extremely intense. There was a lot happening to push us to get to our highest self because of this shit that's going on. And Lord, I didn't know, but I was like going through so much. And sure, so many other people were, and I'm in a, where I'm just in my highest self, and I work hard to stay in that. And I think, we're just happy to be back and to deliver some truth into the world. We're happy to help add to the narrative of what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, light workers, healers, witches, we're all needed right now. We're out here trying to hex white supremacy, so.
Sure are. I'm gonna put some, I'm gonna do something around my house. My neighbors are gonna be like, "The hell is going on?" I'm gonna be just shaking.
Some kind of eradication spell or something.
Yeah. So when after I'm done doing the fight, when I come in, this is a peaceful domain for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we should end it there, but we will definitely be back next week with whatever the fuck we're gonna talk about.
Yes, we'll fucking be back next week. Yes, subscribe if this is your first time listening.
And leave us a review. Follow us on Instagram.
Yes, follow us on Instagram, Booze Witches. We'll eventually have our Twitter and stuff going again. I think we had one of those, but for now, Instagram and subscribe.
Yes, that's your homework. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone. Bye. Bye.